Now today is the day that we call Easter. That word's found in the Bible in Acts 12 and verse 4. Herod put Peter in prison, and it says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And it's really a bad translation. It really should read, intending after Passover to bring him to the people. Like Christmas, Easter is full of pagan tradition. The word Easter comes from an idol god whose name is spelled similar to Easter, E-O-S-T-R-E. It's the goddess of love and fertility, an idol god. And the festival was celebrated in her honor around this time of the year. And since that idol festival coincided with the time that Christ was resurrected, it became accepted as the time to recognize Christ's resurrection. And then a rabbit was added because it's known for fertility. And then eggs for the same reason. So very much pagan tradition involved here. But be that as it may, the same as we rejoice that Christmas is a time when the world is forced to recognize the birth of our Redeemer, we're thankful at least at this time of the year, the world's forced to recognize the resurrection of our Redeemer. Now, in 12 years, I don't think I've ever preached on this day. I don't think I've ever preached on the resurrection. But Lord helping me, I plan to do so today. Now, when the women came to the tomb that morning, where they had placed the body of our Redeemer, we read this in Matthew 28, verse 5. It says, the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, our Lord had taught them many times that he would be crucified and rise again. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. I've titled this, Fear Not, for He is Risen. The first thing these women were told was, fear not. Fear not. And the reason was, for he is risen. Then they were told, come, see, and go quickly, and tell his students. Go tell his disciples. By faith I have seen. By faith I've seen, and I'm come to tell you. Fear not, for he is risen. Fear not, for he is risen. Now, it's not my goal for anybody to only believe the fact that our Lord Jesus is risen. That's not my goal in preaching. The Lord, he did provide many witnesses to confirm the fact. Scripture says in Acts 1:3 that to these witnesses, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, that is, indisputable facts, indisputable evidence, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He let Thomas reach into his wounds to see. He's flesh and blood. He arose from the grave. He ate with them. A spirit doesn't eat. He ate. He ate with them. And he preached the gospel to them. And he did this for 40 days. And he was seen of many witnesses. First Corinthians 15:5 says he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, Paul said. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So many witnesses saw the fact that he arose, but knowing the fact is not salvation. That won't save to just know the fact that Christ arose. I want you to know and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know Him. He said this in John 11:23. Martha, He said to her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, he's saying, whosoever liveth in me, whosoever believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? He's saying, believest thou me? Salvation's not in baptism. It's not in family ties. It's not in our denomination, not in our law keeping. It's not in our zeal for the Lord. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things. All those vain things that he once had confidence in, he said, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by the faith of Christ. That's the righteousness he wanted to have, that righteousness which is of God by faith. So my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit would do more than just convince us of the fact of our Lord's resurrection. I pray he would bring us to faith in Christ, bring you to trust the Lord Jesus. So I want to show you now some of the reasons we have not to fear. Our Lord sent angel of the Lord told these women, fear not, for he is risen. Now, I want you to see some reasons we have not to fear. Now, this is for you who believe concerning the man, Jesus, truly being the Son of God, truly being God the Son. Concerning this, fear not, for he's risen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you want to jot these scriptures down for sake of time, you can, but we're going to look at several different scriptures. Fear not, for he is risen. This is how we know he's the Son of God. Look at this, Romans 1:4. Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By the resurrection from the dead. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for his people is eternal, because that man, Jesus, is the Son of God. He is holy, eternal God. He's God in human flesh. He's God eternal. He's God all-powerful. How do I know that? For he is risen. That's how I know. He's declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Now, you notice in that text there, Romans 1:4, it says he was declared the Son of God. I'd say he was made the Son of God. He was made the Son of David. He was made the Son of Man because he was made flesh. But he's always been the Son of God. He was declared the Son of God. He was eternally always the Son of God with power. He's the Son of God who had power to create all things in the beginning. Everything was created by him. He's God. He's the Son of God with power to uphold all things by the word of his power. He's the Son of God with power to govern this world, to make sure all things that come to pass are of his hand. He's the Son of God with power to accomplish the eternal redemption of his people and raise us from the dead. So, believer, when it comes to this man, Jesus Christ, you can be certain, fear not, that you've been tricked or beguiled or fooled, that he really is the Son of God. How do I know that? For he's risen. I know it by the resurrection from the dead. Now, secondly, turn with me to Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Concerning his sovereign saving reign as both Lord and Christ, fear not, for he's risen. He says here in verse 9, Romans 14:9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. In Acts, Peter said, in Acts 2, he said, having been raised by God to God's right hand, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. You see, every believer has the peace of knowing. We have this peace right here that the man, Jesus, is both our Lord, our sovereign Lord, and our Messiah. We have the peace of knowing that whether we live, you see there in Romans 14, verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's. We're the Lord. That's why He lived and died and rose and revived, that He might be Lord, our sovereign Lord of the dead and the living. How do we have this confidence? For He's risen. For He's risen. Death once lorded over us. Death lorded over us. Not now. Christ lords over us. Satan once lorded over us. Not now. Not you who believe. Christ lords over us. How do I know? For He's risen. Sin once lorded over us. Now only the Lord Jesus lords over us. How do I know that? For He's risen. So fear not, believer. The Lord Jesus is our one and only Lord and Christ. All creatures and all things are subject to Him. All creatures, all things are subject to Him, and He's working all things together for good for you that love Him, for you that are the called according to His purpose. He's doing that. He's working all things as your Lord and as your Messiah. He's working all things for your good, for He's risen. You can be assured of that, for He's risen. Now, thirdly, concerning your justification from your sins, fear not, for He's risen. Look back now at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 25. It says of our Lord Jesus that He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The Lord Jesus Christ bore all the offenses of His people, of all God's elect. And He bore the wrath of God in our place, and He was delivered into the hands of divine justice, and He satisfied it. He satisfied justice in our room instead. That's what He meant when He said it's finished. When He cried it's finished, the Lord fully, completely justified His people. He justified His people. He put away the sins of all God's elect. He satisfied justice for His people, and God's well pleased for His righteousness' sake toward you and me who believe. God's well pleased. Now, each sinner who God brings to cast all our care on Him is accepted in the Beloved. God said, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He said, in that day, in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. No iniquity. God, all-knowing God, who never forgets anything, who sees all things, says there's no iniquity on my people. The sins of Judah shall be sought for, and they shall not be found. God says, I will pardon them whom I reserve. Now, when the devil comes accusing and accusing you and me to God and anybody else that accuses us to God, that accusation is going to fall to the ground. Why? As Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So fear not. Fear not, when it comes to your justification, when it comes to you being righteous before God, the righteousness of God, fear not. How do I know? For He's risen. Christ is risen. Now, fourthly, concerning our regeneration and the regeneration of every child for whom Christ died, fear not, for He's risen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Are you seeing here how that every one of these things that I'm saying to you, the reason that you don't fear is because they're all manifest in Christ risen, and Him risen, and Him resurrected. Look here now, concerning regeneration. Your regeneration, my regeneration, concerning the regeneration of those who are yet lost. Those that are yet in their sins. Concerning their regeneration that Christ died for. Fear not, for He's risen. So look at this. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We've been born again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when Christ arose to newness of life, you can turn to Ephesians 1. I want you to see this. When He arose to newness of life, He came out of that tomb. Mystically, mysteriously, all His people came out of that tomb with Him. All His people came out of that grave in Him, with Him, to newness of life. And that guarantees that each sinner that He justified, each sinner that came out of that grave with Him, shall be regenerated in time. They shall be regenerated in time. Look here at Ephesians 1:19. They're going to be given faith in Christ, life and faith in Christ. Look here, Ephesians 1:19. Paul prayed that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Do you know what kind of exceeding great power God has exercised to you who believe? It's according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, He gave Christ all power over all things. And look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We were sinners even as others. Look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He, Christ, our risen Lord, might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Well, does that mean that we arose in Christ and were quickened in Christ when He arose from the dead? Or does that mean that He came to us in time and regenerated us and quickened us in time and brought us to faith in Christ? Yes, it means both. We came out of the grave when He came out of the grave. We sat down. We entered in glory. We sat down when He sat down. And because of that, He did it that in time He might show you and me the exceeding riches of His grace. And so in time, He comes to us and regenerates us, gives us life, gives us faith, and brings us to see the exceeding greatness of His power to us for who believe. What's He saying? He's saying the same power it took to raise Christ out of the grave is the power it took to regenerate you and me from being dead sinners. I know it's impossible. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's impossible for an unregenerate natural sinner who's dead in sin, it's impossible for him to believe that Christ arose. It's impossible for him to believe anything concerning the gospel. I understand that. And without a doubt, it's a mystery that Christ arose. But I want you to see something here. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's a great mystery. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You catch what he said there? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The Lord Jesus Christ was believed on in this world. And he came out of the grave and was received up into glory. And what he's saying there is to create life within a spiritually dead sinner is as great a mystery of godliness as it was for Christ to come out of that grave and arise to the Father. Same power. Same power. Do you believe the gospel? That's the power God exercised in you to bring you to life and faith in Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? So fear not. We, you fathers and mothers, you got children who are lost and they're blind in sin and they're dead in sin and they don't believe the gospel. You bring them to hear the gospel and they come and they hear and they don't believe. Well, fear not. For Christ is risen. And this we have the assurance of knowing. If there He is. If they came out of that grave in Christ when He came out of the grave in time through this gospel, our Lord is going to give them life. He's going to regenerate them and exercise that power upon them, and they're going to be brought to believe on Him. That's peace for a believer. That's peace for you and I. So fear not. You see that loved one that you love dearly and they don't believe? Fear not, for He's risen. If there He is, He's going to bring them to believe on Him. Now, fifthly, look at Colossians 2. We could go on and on and on here. But look at Colossians chapter 2. Do not fear the devil or any other enemy that you have. Believer, don't fear. Don't fear the devil. Don't fear any other enemy that we have. Why? For He's risen. Look here. Concerning the devil and concerning all unseen enemies and powers and principalities, Colossians 2 and verse 12, it says there that at the end it says, through the faith of the operation of God, it says, God hath raised Him from the dead. He raised Christ from the dead. Now look down at verse 15. And doing so, He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly and triumphed over them in it. He made a show of them. He spoiled the devil and all principalities and powers and triumphed over them when He arose from the dead. That was testimony to you and me that Christ won the victory. He crushed the devil's head and He'll bruise Satan under our feet shortly. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul gave some consequences here if Christ is not risen. These are some consequences, negative consequences if Christ is not risen. This is how important the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, but we can look at these negative consequences and see the positive side of it and know that these things are certain because He did arise. Look here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. He says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. That's the first consequence. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Well, fear not, brethren, for He's risen. All right, here's the second consequence. Verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Well, fear not, brethren, for He is risen. Our preaching's not vain. Everything we're declaring from this book right here is so. He's risen. So fear not. Look at the third consequence here in verse 14. And your faith is also vain. If Christ is not risen, you and I have believed in vain. Fear not, for He is risen. We have not believed in vain. Here's the fourth consequence, verse 15. Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. We're false witnesses. We've been lying to people. Fear not, for He is risen. Everything we've been telling folks concerning this Word, concerning our Lord and all that He accomplished, is true. Here's the fifth consequence if Christ is not risen. Verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Now look at the positive. Fear not, for He is risen. You are not in your sins, believer. I'm not in my sin. We don't have any sin, because Christ is risen. Now here's the sixth consequence. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep, those which have, we call it dying. The Scripture calls it falling asleep. Those that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished if Christ isn't risen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But here's the good news right here. The last enemy that we do not have to fear. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first fruits. He came out of the grave and all His people are coming out. Paul said in Romans 8:11, he said, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Look here now, 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 21. Why was it that Christ arose? For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And now, believer and unbeliever need to get what that means. By Christ, everybody's coming out of the grave. Believer or unbeliever, we're all going to be resurrected and stand before God in glory. Death's not the end. We're going to stand before God and be judged. All of us will. But watch this. Verse 51, but for the believer, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not going to all die before Christ comes, but we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. It's gone, isn't it? Christ put that away. And the strength of sin is the law. He satisfied the law. So thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ so conquered death for His people. He so conquered death for His people, brethren, that the Scripture said, God raised Him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holding of it. When He put away sin, And he conquered death by fulfilling the law, it was not possible that death could hold Him in that grave. It wasn't possible. And so verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain? For He's risen. Go to Romans 6, and let's end with this verse right here. Romans 6. Here's why our labor is not in vain, right here. Here's what we have to look forward to. Are you fearful of death? I have some dear brethren right now that are nearing their last days on this earth. And by God's grace, they've been a great encouragement to me because they're not afraid. They're not afraid. Well, how could you face death and fear not? For He's risen. For He's risen. Here it is, right here. So we can continue serving the Lord, believing the Lord, doing everything He commands us to do, and know that none of this is in vain. Nothing's in vain. Right here. Verse Romans 6, verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that's dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin one time, but in that he liveth unto God. Now listen, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, when you face death, fear not, for He's risen. Now, in all these things, brethren, what He's telling us is, we could go on. There's other things we could look at here, and we haven't exhausted this list of reasons not to fear at all. We could go further. But in all of this, He's telling us, we don't have anything to fear. We don't, believer. I thought about that statement, and I thought, well, I guess we could fear falling away. No, we don't have a reason to fear that. Why? Because He's risen. That's why. We don't have anything to fear. Why? For He is risen. I pray God will bless that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our great God and our Father, Lord, what a great blessing You bestowed on Your people, the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. And this life is in Your Son, seated at Your right hand. This thing is accomplished, it's done, it's finished. Lord, help us to enter into that. Help us to know that. One of these days, Father, keep us in this realization all the time that we're going to stand before You, and the things in this life right now that matter to us and that we think are so troubling and so concerning and so necessary, they're just not going to matter. Lord, keep us looking right now to the one thing needful. Keep us trusting that there's only one thing we need, and that's Christ. And keep us looking and knowing that because He's risen, we don't have anything to fear in this life. Nothing to fear in this life. Whatever You're going to work for us tomorrow, Lord, is going to be for our good. It may be chastening to us, and it may be painful to us, and it may be, but it's what we need. Help us to remember that. Help us to bow to that. Give us grace, Lord, to accept whatever Your providential hand has in store, knowing it comes from our risen Redeemer, our God, our Savior. And Lord, let us know that it's because You will not allow one for whom You died to be condemned with this world. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You. Let us not be taken up with the pagan traditions of this day, but let us truly rejoice that Christ is risen. And Lord, keep us. Keep us for His sake. Be with Your people everywhere. And we pray, Lord, You bless this message to all Your lost sheep. Give them life. Bring them out of darkness into Your light. Lord, may it be one of our children that You cause to live this hour. And Lord, if there's any believer that's overtaken in sin, that is overcome by their flesh, that can't deliver themselves out of it, Lord, we pray for them. We pray that You, in Your time, would bring them out and have mercy on them and change their heart and give them faith to trust You and look to You. Humble us, Lord. Humble us and keep us at Christ's feet. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us looking at this world and making it to be more than it is. Thank You, Father, for our risen Redeemer. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen.